Here we are in the Congressional Corner with Richard Neal, Massachusetts' 1st District Congressman, my congressman, a Democrat in office since 1989. Richard Neal, I guess the first thing I want to ask you is, you've played a very strong game when it comes to holding the president responsible, but you've received a certain amount of criticism for not being more aggressive. How do you answer?
Well, I think one of the things that's very important here is that to acknowledge that Speaker Pelosi, I think, has handled this correctly.
Yes.
And that she decided, for good reason, that, as Mr. Lincoln noted, opinion is everything. And for this inquiry to be legitimate, or to be perceived as being legitimate in the eyes of the American people, that it had to stand up under the scrutiny of critical analysis. And I think that that's exactly what's happened. At the same time, we have an outstanding court case where I have requested the president's taxes under Chapter 6103. Just because it's not in the news every single day, for good reason, as I'm advised by House counsel, nonetheless, the procedure of congressional oversight is much at work. And I do think that the Speaker took the position on the inquiry that we had to move ourselves away from just the emotion of the moment and get to a factual analysis of the violation. And I think that the president, once he made that phone call to Ukraine, where he moved his position over three successive days from I didn't do it to maybe I did it to so what if I did it, I think that that raised the issue of inquiry. And I think that, again, Speaker Pelosi was correct.
So you are, of course, a team player. You're indicating, I think, quite correctly, that Speaker Pelosi has been calling the shots, that counsel has been calling the shots, but you're the one who gets it in the neck. That doesn't seem fair, does it?
Well, I mean, I gave up a long time ago talking about fairness in this business, and it's better that you be perceived as, I think, being competent, and in addition to which, nobody ever says lazy or ineffective. And I think that I'll take any day the professional regard that my colleagues have for me. And I think that, with the exception, perhaps, of the Speaker, I think that they would come to the conclusion that much of the good work that has taken place during our time in the majority has come from the Ways and Means Committee.
And how so? Can you spell that out a bit?
We put out a very good retirement bill called the Secure Act. We put out an IRS bill. We're working on a prescription drug bill. I am in the midst of renegotiating NAFTA, which is a hemispheric trade agreement between Canada and Mexico. We've made steady progress. And I think that those are but some of the examples. In addition, I think that we're going to do a balanced billing piece of legislation that will better reflect the realities of people who shop outside of their own market for health care with surprise billing. So I think that the work of the committee has gone on. We have proposed expanding the low-income housing tax credit. We have defended new markets tax credits. We have kept the idea of the historic tax credit. And not to miss the idea that I am also the author of legislation that would expand the earned income tax credit to single filers and build a more robust tax credit for parents with children. And just because the entertainment value of what we've seen from the White House over these years, I think that there's a tendency for the press to focus conflict, but the regular work of the committee, based upon the insistence of the Speaker and myself, has continued to proceed.
Richard Neal, I don't think anybody understands that it is tough to be a congressman. I wouldn't want to be a congressman. Not at all. I mean, people don't understand that you have to meet with your constituents, you have to run your committees, you have to do all of this work that you're doing, but it's not easy. You have an opponent who's taking shots at you on a number of bases, but keeping it very simple. You've just dotted the I's and crossed the T's. That cannot be easy for you to know you're doing all this important work and then somebody takes shots at you.
Well, I mean, I also think over a long career that I've had an opportunity to respond to those criticisms during the election season. And if you've won as many elections as I've won, I think that obviously there's somebody out there that is supportive of this position. I was in Great Barrington last week, and it was well acknowledged that a housing initiative there survived largely because the low-income housing tax credit survived. And who defended that low-income housing tax credit against the Republican tax plan? But it was me. We saved those new markets, we saved the historic tax credit, and we saved the low-income housing tax credit. It's more and more difficult, I think, today, as mainstream media have shrunk. And I'm a big believer and fan and advocate of mainstream media, because mainstream media, they do context. They would explain why we do this or why we would do that. And in the 24-hour news cycle now, which is sometimes reduced to the 10-hour news cycle, I think there's more emphasis on conflict, and there's more interest on how do I move the needle of opinion as opposed to substantive legislative accomplishment. And in the end, we were elected, Alan, not to entertain the American people. We were elected to inform them. So I'm quite satisfied with the work that we do every day.
Well, you know, you're my congressman, and I have made no secret of it, and your opponent has made no secret of his disdain for my you know, feelings on this. But nevertheless, nobody likes to be criticized. Hey, I don't like to be criticized.
Well, if you're the chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, you're likely to get criticism from a lot of different quarters. Either you went too far, you didn't go far enough, and not to miss the point that in the end, you still have to cobble together legislation that is a reflection of many different shades of opinion inside of the Democratic caucus. And, you know, I think that what's important to recognize about that is that I proceed on the basis of, you know, my time is taken up right now with a hemispheric trade agreement. I met with the president of Mexico last week. I spent an hour and a half with them. We have met regularly with Rich Trumka, the head of the AFL-CIO. The Canadian elections are coming up, and we all agree that after 25 years with NAFTA, that it should be revised. And we are going to revise NAFTA.
And is the predicate there that you have to get the White House first?
No, I think that what the president does, as you know, he creates the chaos and then blames us. And I think that as it relates to the trade negotiations, we have absolutely moved away from the emotions with the Mexicans of building the wall, which was a hoax that was perpetrated by the president saying that they were going to pay for the wall, to a negotiated settlement with this argument. Mexico has now become our latest trade partner. That's an astounding statistic that none of us would have believed 20 years ago was even possible. And that's the integration, I think, of the Northern Hemisphere and the interactions that we have every single day. So making sure that we can build a relationship that I think offers opportunity for the American people is where we have to come down in terms of the trade agreements.
Hey, Richie Neal, one of our favorites, and we've interviewed her, Committee Chair Nita Lowy, is retiring.
Yeah.
What do you make of
that? She's my classmate.
Really?
We got elected on the same day, so we became friends instantly. And she is beyond the political reality of trying to chair a major committee as she does with appropriations. She's one of the nicest human beings I've ever met. She is kind, and she is smart. She's a Mount Holyoke graduate. And
because
I was on the Board of Trustees at Mount Holyoke, she took a superb interest, I think, in what we were doing at the college regularly. And I also think that, you know, she took on a very thankless task in the Democratic Party, and it's called being chairman of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, which means fundraising. And she traveled the country regularly, and she raised tens of millions of dollars for Democratic candidates across the country. So she's going to go down as one of my all-time favorites. I just plain like Nita Lowy.
Did you try to talk her out of it?
I think that she waited, Alan, for the congressional break so that you couldn't talk her out of it.
Right.
My impression. Now, whenever there's a break, you can see the members of Congress retire, and I think part of it is so that they don't have to go through that, please do it for one more term. Again, request that frequently will come from leadership.
Are you ever sorry that you took one of the hardest jobs in the world?
No, I mean, I think that when you look at the committee and its responsibility for tax, trade, tariffs, Social Security, Medicare, pensions, welfare, management of the public debt, it is Herculean. And we have responsibility for more than 70% of the federal budget. And I've had a lot of experience there. I've served with some very decent people over the years. And I'm excited every day about the prospects of doing some good things for the American people. And we're going to try hard in the final negotiation, as I noted earlier, to expand, again, the earned income tax credit to single filers. That's a huge step forward. Now, I know that that won't make the excitement of cable news, but it's really important to working class people.
There's always that. Let me ask you a question because I've been asked about it. You're asking the president to release his tax returns. Are you going to do that too?
Oh, for sure. Yes. I've done this over the years in my campaigns. I'm happy to do that. I'm on the cusp. But I would say right now that the easiest thing to say is my tax forms will match my ethics form. No, that's an easy one. The scrutiny that they receive is fine with me.
Do you have as much money as Donald Trump?
Well, I actually was hoping that we'd be able to do this simultaneously with a court case that would recommend that he release his forms as well. But there's no problem at all with doing that.
It's amazing that you come from a town like Springfield, Massachusetts, home of basketball and everything else, and that you have risen to this very important position. Has that helped? Has that helped the district?
Oh, I think immeasurably, and I also think that it has drawn a lot of attention to many of the good things that we've done here, whether it's Union Station, a new courthouse, development of State Street. I mean, in Holyoke alone, Newmarket's tax credits have been used for 7 major projects, and including the library and the hospital and the data center and the health center. I mean, it's astounding, and I can say this with great personal satisfaction, but for those tax credits, those initiatives would not have gotten off the ground. So I think that my interest and expertise in that arena has been very helpful to these communities, and we hope to announce in the not-too-distant future another major initiative for East Hampton, Massachusetts.
Richie Neal, thank you so much for being on the Congressional Corner today. When we come back the next time, I'll throw you all the criticisms that your opponent has thrown at you, and you'll answer them, okay?
I'll be ready.